Okay, we're continuing in Shir HaShirim. We're in the second chapter. We're in Pasuk Tes Vav, which will be page Mem Zion in our book. Again, this entire chapter has been the Jewish people speaking to Hashem and requesting that he should bring the end of time as quickly as possible. And they were recalling a number of the kindnesses that Hashem did for them throughout their history. And after discussing all those previous things, we now end up with these last three psukim, that their final thrust of their comments of why Hashem has to bring the Mashiach so quickly. So, yeah. Echaz alanu shualim shualim kedanim echablim keramim echarameinu simadar. Okay, echaz alanu shualim. So it's interesting how to translate those words. Echaz means to seize, to grasp. Grasp for us the foxes. Shualim ketanim, small foxes. Mechablim karamim, that are destroying the vineyards. Ucharamenu samadar, and our vineyards are samadar. Samadar means those are the grapes when they're just coming out. So let's see the commentary of the Tzur HaMor on page Tes Vav. Shualim ketanim, what's the analogy of the small foxes? After Jewish people have now recalled the kindnesses that Hashem did in the prior psukim, in the earlier times, they begin to request v'omeres and say, v'ata now, echaz olanu avonos kitanim, it seems that our sins have taken a hold of us. What kind of sins? Small sins. Sharam Doshba Kevav, that people step on with their heels. That's that famous Rashi in Parshas Ekev. Ekev Kitishmun. If you will listen, the word Ekev, you'll listen even to the mitzvahs that people normally step on. So we've done sins that, you know, for whatever reasons, people don't think it's such a terrible sin. People step on them. Umechunim v'shem shualim kitanim, and they're nicknamed as small foxes. Why? Interesting fact. Shenishichoson koshimo. Their bite is a very painful bite. Small foxes. And therefore, they're suffering from the effects of those fox bites. Okay? And they're small shualim, so you don't think it's a big deal. Mechablim kramim, they're destroying vineyards. Uchramenu smadar, vosan avonos, and those sins. Mechablim hakerem, baodo smadar, they're destroying the vineyard when the grapes are still in the very small stage. Smadar is before they're fully ripe and before you can pick them. See, listen, if you're worried about them eating, so just pluck the grapes, but it's too early to pluck the grapes. And since they see this is what's happening, so they're continuing on in the next pasuk. It's all three psukim go together now. Tes Zion, back upstairs. What's that talking about? Says the Tzur HaMor. Dodi li vanilo, mikol makom, still and all. You should do a kindness for us. Asay l'man shemecha. Do it for your own sake. Ki shimcha mishutaf bishameinu. Because your name is partnered with our name. Va'ata kosher banu. You are tied to us. Va'anu bach. And us to you. That's what it means. Dodi li, my beloved is to me. Va'ani lo, and I am to him. This expression always means that we are connected together. Now, let's take a look at footnote 42 as a very interesting Yerushalmi that explains this idea that your name is tied to us. So look in footnote 42, Kishimcha Meshutav Pishameinu. It's a Yerushalmi in Tainus. And this is the words. Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish b'shem Rabbi Yanai says the following. Shitev HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shmo HaGadol B'Yisrael. Hashem partnered his great name in the name Yisrael. That's the last two letters, Aleph Lamed. Really, we are Yashor. We are the straight ones. So Hashem added His name, Aleph Lamed, to us. What's this analogous of? Why does Hashem have to do this? Why can't He just call us Yashor? That's good enough. Why do you got to add God's name to it? So it can be paired to L'melech shelo mafteach shel plam tanarya kitana. The king had a key. I'm not exactly sure what a plantanya is, but it's something small. Let's say treasure chest, whatever. He has a key to it, and the treasure chest is locked. Now, where do you put the key? They even going to lose it, right? So Amar HaMelech, Im ani maniach kemoshi, if I leave the key as it is, avede, it's going to get lost. Elawat, areni oso shel shelas, I put a chain around it. Shim avda hashel shelas teimuchale. But even if I lose the chain, it'll be connected to the key. A key's a small thing, you can lose it. We got a big chain. Chain, you know, it doesn't get lost so easily. So if even I don't know where the key is, I just have to find the chain and I'll know where the key is. Kach Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so did Hashem say the same thing. Im maniach ani es Yisrael kamo shem, if I leave the Jews as they are by themselves, nivloin heim ben akam, they're going to get swallowed up amongst the goyim. Elohare ani mishate shmi agoro bahem, but rather I will partner my great name in them, Vein Chaim, and they will live. Okay. And that's what it says in Yeshua, my Tamav. It says, Vayishma Knani, Yeshua was saying, when he's pleading before Hashem, he says, the Knanim will hear, Vachol Yosha Aretz, and all the people live around the land, Vinusfal later, they'll surround us, Vichrisu Eshmainu Min Aretz, and they'll destroy our name from the land. God forbid, we shouldn't be destroyed. But the last point is, but if we get destroyed, umatas el shimcha gadol, what's going to happen to your great name? Shehu meshutaf banu, that's partnered with us. So then Hashem said, okay, you mentioned that, okay, I got to take care of you guys. So you see clearly that the fact that our name is attached, okay, even if, you know, even in the secular way of calling Israel, okay, but still, when we're talking about Yisrael, we are the people of Hashem. And if something happens to us, that means something's happening to Hashem. And the fact that we know that we are God's people, that itself, even though we could get, there be temptations of assimilation, but that is if you're just a Yosher, just a Yosher guy, a straight guy can assimilate. But one who is straight to Hashem, that's what Yisrael means, straight to Hashem. It's like the key is connected to the chain. So you can't leave. The chain is still connected to you. So this shows the closeness that we have between us and Hashem. That's why it's the first time we're now seeing Dodi Li, my beloved is to me, Vani Lo, and I am to him. That we're very well connected over here. So that's we're asking you to do this kindness to us. Since our name is attached with your name, so now we continue the last two words of Pasuk Tezayin, Haroa Bashashanim, the one who guards the roses, says the Tzror Hamor, Kiata Haroa Osana, because you're the one who's been watching us, Me'oz Hayinu Kashashanim, from the time that we were roses. Lazos Big Shemacha, therefore we're going to ask from you, we're finally getting to the request. In Tesvav, we're talking about the small sins that we've done that have bitten us. Tezayin is saying we've had a long, very well-connected relationship. We've been watching us for a long time, and our name is connected to our name. So therefore, what do we ask you to do for us? Yud Zayin is the conclusion of this little segment and the conclusion of the chapter. Ad shiyafu achayom v'nasu hatzalim sov d'melech adodi litzvi o liofer ha'yelim al horei voser. Okay, so what we want him to do is to save us before we run out of merits. So the word is ad shiafuach hayom, until the day spreads out, as it were, v'nosu at slolim, and the shade slolim, the shades run away. In other words, so to speak, before the day ends, before time runs out, Demelecha dodi. I liken you, my beloved, as we already said before, litzvi ola ofer hayolim. If you recall back in Pasuk Tes, this has already been said. It's being repeated. If you look in Pasuk Tes, the same thing. Dome lecha, dome dodi litzvi. My beloved resembles a gazelle, or we said an antelope that can run for very quickly. Ola ofer hayolim. Or we call that the doe, a deer, a female deer. Okay? And we already explained what the comparisons are to that, we said that the gazelle, even when it's sleeping, still one eye is always open, always giving a look. And the doe has great mercy and runs very quickly in its compassion. So that's what he's repeating again. He says, and therefore he says, sov. He says, Sof, turn to us, the one that's compared to the gazelle, the one that's compared to the dove. Al hare vaser. You have to see what that means. Simple means, what?
Doe, not dove.
Doe, I'm sorry, the doe. Al hare vaser, on the mountains of vaser. You have to know what that means in a minute. So let's look at the commentary in Yud Zayin. Ad shavuch hayom v'nasu hatzlolim. Please help us. Kodem sheyinasu haschuyas, before our merits run away. We have merits. They're still keeping us alive. But it only lasts so long, those merits. It's our sheyinasu haschuyos, our merits, uschus avos, and the merits of the patriarchs. Hamaginim alone, that protect us. Hamuchononim, and the nickname of that is b'shem tzlolim, that's shade. That's what shade is. Shade protects you. So those things save us. So sov chazor pam shenis, return a second time. We're asking a second time to come back. Demei lecha dodi litzvi. You're compared to the gazelle and to the doe. Amamarim larutz, that quickly run. Kein tamarot pam ketzagulo. So again, quickly bring us the exile. What does it mean? Al hore vaser. Al means on account of, because of, Horei Vaser, the mountain of Baser. It means, Bishvil haftachos shiftachto l'Avram Avinu, because of the promises that you promised Avram Avinu, where? Bein habisorim, between the parts, at the covenant between the parts, the BBHB, Bris Bein habisorim, which was in what year?
2018
from creation. Very good. See how smart Steve is. He moved right like that.
Only takes me a few months.
2018, Hashem made that promise. Remember, the word basar means a part, something that's cut up. It was a covenant, a breeze, bane, between the cut up parts, where the animals were cut in half and put on two sides. So it means al hore vaser. But what's the mountain doing over here? Interesting fact, he says, Behar HaMoriah, that happened at Mount Moriah. So the Tzur HaMor is saying, if you want to know where the Bris Beit HaBesorim took place, it took place on Mount Moriah, which is where the Kedus Yitzchak took place, and is where the Beis HaMikdash was built. Interesting, the commentaries ask a question. Well, if you look at the Bris Beit HaBesorim, where do you see there that you promised that you were going to save us? Now, Hashem did say he was going to take us out of Egypt, but he didn't talk about a second redemption. If you look carefully, the Bris Beit HaBesorim, Hashem says you're going to be your children's servants for 400 years in a land that's not theirs. I will judge them, I will punish them. So that's Egypt. But now it seems he's asking for, there was something else in the Bris Beit HaBesorim. So look in footnote 44 that will elaborate on that. So he says, the Tzur HaMor says, Lo Motzasi Lehedi B'Chazal, I don't see anywhere overtly mentioned in the teachings of our rabbis, that Hashem promised at the covenant of the parts he would release us from the final exile. You only find the exile in Egypt, Hashem promised, not the final exile. Ulam, however, Haramban, the commentator, the Ramban, in his drushes that's called Torah Hashem Tamima, Nakat Laheja, he explicitly says Shenichla Barbis Ben of a Sarm that included in the covenant of the parts is Havtokalav Ravino Al Kula Asira. There is a promise for the future redemption, says Ramban. You do see. Vizel Hashanon, these are the words of the Ramban. Vizos HaParsha Mehadvarim HaMuchrochim V'Abruim Lanu B'Gulas Asida. And this Parsha, this section, are the words that are clear and have to be understood for the future redemption. Ki Pirish Ba, because he explained in it, Shom, he says, L'Zaracha Nasati Etzaharas Azos, to your children I gave this land. Minahar Mitzrayim, from the Egyptian river, meaning the Nile River, Ada Nahar HaGadol Nahar Pras, until the big river, the Euphrates River. And where's the Euphrates?
Iraq.
Okay, that's pretty far. That's pretty far. That means going from the Nile, imagine, Nile is southeast of Israel. Euphrates is north. West of Israel, correct?
Yes.
So that's interesting. I'm going to give them, and that's the land of Israel. Umanakan, and then he listed how many nations did he list in that list in the Bris Ben Habasarim? How many nations? Eser Amamim, 10 nations. Vehiktim, and the first three are called Kani, Knezi, Vikadmoni. Those are the first three. Now, you're familiar with the seven Canaanite nations, the Kanani, the Prizi, Yavusi, Girgashi, Chivi, etc. But who are these Kani, Kanazi, and Kadmoni? Ve'ela HaShlosha, and those three, Lo Nasli Yisrael B'Mamosha V'Yoshua, V'Lo B'Mei David. We never got those three nations in the times of Moshe, Yeshua, or David. We didn't get them. You can't say that we don't, that there is no merits to get them, only skyim, and that the promise didn't come true. This covenant Hashem made no conditions. There were no conditions. If you look at the priest and the servant, it doesn't say you're going to be strangers and you better be good and you better do this. You better nothing on that side. Hashem says, this is what's going to happen, and that's all. So let's get the other ones. So what's going on? Ella al-Karcheni, you have to say, who lost the love, that's going to come in the future. Those are the three. This is East Bank, big style. Way East Bank. Okay.
King Shlomo have it?
King Shlomo didn't have it either. Even though we had the lands of Ammon and Moab, which are directly east of the Jordan River, that's where the 2.5 tribes lived. But we're talking about more work. So what we're saying is that when Mashiach comes, Israel is going to expand all the way into Iraq. That's the promise. Now, if Hashem has promised that to us, though it has to be true, so what does it mean it has to be true? It has to be true that we're going to get all of it. So if we didn't get it yet, we're going to get it later. Now, it could very well have been, had the Jews not sinned with the golden calf, had the Jews not sinned with the spies, then Hashem could have given us all that right then and there. Since we sinned, it has delayed that. So it's not going to come till later. So therefore, we only got the seven Canaanite nations. So that is the fact that he's saying. There's other hints of this other, I don't know why, there are other Midrashim where it says, Vagam, and also the nation. We already learned Rashi says their Gam includes the four exiles. So there's a hint to that too. But that's a good proof of the Ramban. The last point he says, and this was interesting, that the covenant between the parts was on Mount Moriah. Look at footnote 45. Bein Abisarim Behar Moriah, Kain Isa Betargum. That's what the Targum says, Khan. Right over here, there, make Targum explanation says, Shabris Ben Abisarim Hoysa Behar Moriah. Okay? And the Ayin Besefer Yena Tov, look in the Sefer Yena Tov Ala Targumim. That's a Sefer written that explains all the Aramaic Targums. The Kasa de Limsa Od Makornos of Osama Chazal. He says you don't find any other sources in the Talmud or the Medrash. There's no source besides this Targum that the covenant between the parts was on Mount Moriah. And then he tells you, look on a piyut from the last day of on Pesach. There's piyutim that say certain things, and one of the commentators says it's there. So that's an interesting trivia fact. It really makes a lot of sense, because the most important place in the world is Mount Moriah, and obviously, that gives you a little better understanding, I think, when Hashem tells Avram to take Yitzhak and sacrifice him on Mount Moriah. It's not just Stam Mount Moriah. It's on Mount Moriah where Hashem, 67 years earlier, promised him children. It's like that spot where he promised him. That was where the covenant was. It's almost like Hashem, and the spot of the covenant, it looked like he's breaking his own covenant on the same place where he made the covenant. That was part of the test. So that's what it means over here. So Hashem, please, you promised you're going to take us out a second time as well. And that means Al-Hare Voser, on the mountain where the parts were split. So please do this quickly before our merits and our patriarchal merits run out. So let's go to the back of the Sefer now and just quickly review them. And we're looking on page Kuf Lamed Dalid. Kuf Lamed Dalid. Below the page there, you see it's marked the third line. It says Tesvav to Yud Zayin. Puts the three together there. Ubesiyum, at the end of this statement of the Jews, Ubesiyum Sipur Tovoser Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now the Jews have finished relating the kindnesses that Hashem has done over the years. Choseres Knesset Yisrael, the Jewish people review Umisonenes, and they bemoan over the fact that echas alon shualim. It seems the way he's translating here is the foxes have grabbed us. It's like the foxes have grabbed us. Shema vera shadam dosh b'chav, and those are the sins that a person tramples on. Shualim ketanim, small foxes. Shinishichasham kashamo, their bite is very bad. Va'osam averis, and those sins, mechablim osanu, they destroy us. Here we're saying, I don't know why, but it's a review commentary, adds a little word here or there, it gives a better clarity over here. It's destroying us, hamashum, and we're compared to vineyards. The Jew is a vineyard. Very interesting concept that a Jew is a vineyard, the grape, all the things that a grape symbolizes. The gematria of wine is sowed, is secret. So we all have deep neshamas and secrets. So the foxes, so it comes out, the analogy is the foxes, the small foxes are the small sins, and they're biting our neshamas, us. That's the vineyards. Ukramenu, in our vineyards, rak smadar, it's only smadar. Shadayin lo nigmer bishula, we have not fully ripened. In other words, the Jewish people say we haven't fully ripened. Even though all these sins still are inside of me, the Jewish people ask from Hashem, do this for your own sake. Because remember, if we're bitten, your name is connected to us. You're bitten too. That's partnered with our name. And that's what he's saying in the words, Dodi, my beloved, Mikushar is tied, Li, to me, Va'ani, and I am Mukushal, I'm tied to him. So when we say Ani, Dodi, Li, Va'ani, Lo, meaning we're tied together. Va'toha, you said, you have been Haroa, the shepherd, Shalom of ours, Ba, from the times of what? Zman Shavar, from the past, She'inu, Keshoshanim, when we were considered roses in the past. Ulakachim of Akesh, therefore we ask, before our merits leave, and our patriarchal merits leave, sov, which means chazor, turn to us, pam shnia, second time, and you are compared to the gazelle and the doe. Hamamarim Larutz, that quickly run, came to Marius Kesko, so quickly bring the end of the redemption. Why? Al means here Bishvil, on account of Hare Vosser, the mountains of Bosser, Brisbane of Vishram Shoyal Hara Maria, the covenant of the parts that was on Mount Moriah. Okay, that ends second chapter. Now we go to Perek Gimel. We got a few more minutes. The next chapter, just like chapter 2, was all the Jewish people speaking to Hashem. So the converse, chapter 3, is all going on the response of HaKadosh Baruch Hu over here. And again, it's going to take a couple psukim for the full thought to be expressed over here. But what he's basically going to say, Hashem said, I'd be happy to do it if anybody was interested. That's basically what he's saying. Okay. And but I think an important point I just failed to elaborate on. So what is it that is getting a hold of us? It's those small sins. You know, those small things we don't think are that big. But you got to realize a small sin is just as important as a big sin. As Rabbeinu Yonah and all the commentaries tell us, because you don't look at the size of the sin, but look at the size of the one who's given us that mitzvah, and that's Hashem. So when somebody asks you, even for a small thing, if the person is asking you is an important person, you do the small things. So that's one of the signs, as you'll see, where Hashem's saying, you know, if you really care about Hashem, you'll do the small things, and many of us are lacking in that. So, and we understand we're smarting from that. And Hashem, please just get us out of here. So, therefore, so it's interesting from the nature of the answer that you're going to see. That's why I just want you to not lose this idea that Hashem is prepared to redeem us even with our sins. Because you'll see in this response, Hashem's not, because the Jews acknowledge we've got sins and they're biting us. So, save us. Now, you could say, Hashem, the answer you'd expect to see, well, if you guys would just shape up and stop doing Averis, maybe I consider it. But that's not what he's saying. As you're going to see, it's not what he's saying. He's going to say, if anybody was interested in me, I would be doing it. So that's what he's going to discuss at length now in the third chapter, where the past, I did see it, and I did help out if you wanted me. Even though the Jews were sinning, Hashem is a very kind God. He is very accommodating. He's a wonderful spouse. You could do things bad to him, and he's very forgiving. But there's one important rule that has to be. In every marriage, you can have conflict. You can have a spouse do something bad to the spouse. They lose their temper, whatever. It can happen. Doesn't mean the relationship has to end. But what has to be is you got to really, really want the spouse. Even if you've been negligent, okay, you don't do certain small things. Your wife asks you to take out the garbage 10 times. Now, in the scope of life, that's not a big thing. The big thing is you go out to work every day, you're working hard to make parnasa. It's not easy. And you're taking care, and you make sure that there's always money, enough money to feed the family, clothe the family, take out. Those are the big mitzvahs, right? But then you got the small ones. Husband doesn't take out the garbage. He doesn't change the light bulbs. He doesn't remember to always compliment the wife for a good meal that she makes. We're not minimizing on that, but again, a wife would rather, if you ask a wife, what would you rather have? An unemployed husband who sits around all day and has lots of time to compliment you. You know why he's got so much time? And to what?
Change light bulbs.
But you're in debt. You're in debt, and you have nothing to show for it. You know, then it's easy to be a kind person. But if the person is investing majority of his life to take care of you, okay, he's missing on small points. Okay, I'm not saying it's excusable. It's good. But at least he cares. He goes every day to work for you. That's why many marriages, people seem to forget that point. It's, again, we're not saying that the husbands shouldn't fix up their small sins. They should. But even if they don't, the wife should be, you know, wanting to take the husband anyway as he is. But that's if the husband really cares about the woman. That's what. Well, yeah, I'm talking from one side because here we're talking about Hashem. Hashem always cares. So there's no, on Hashem's side, there's never a problem about caring and wanting. The only problem is our side. Okay, we're the wife, so we should flip around the analogy, whatever. But the wife, as Hashem's saying, even if you've done small sins, okay, now for idol worshippers, not a good thing. Like big sins, you know, if the husband does big sins, he has affairs with other women. So forget it, you know, I can't take you back. It's just certain things, you know, he beats you. That's big sins. Those are big sins. Okay, we're not talking about that. And Jews, we're not doing those big sins. Nobody's worshiping idols today, etc. No one's blaspheming God in public that wants Mashiach, right? But we're doing a lot of small sins. We talk in shul. We do all kinds of small sins. So Hashem, you're going to say, Hashem's not going to say, well, if you take out the small things, then I'll take you back. He said, but I just want to know, do you think about me? Do you care about me? Are you looking for me? If I'm not home, does it matter to you? You know, if the wife says, you know, whenever I come home, you don't even say hello to me. You know, when I'm home, you're in front of your computer all the time. You're not even glad to see me. So if the wife at least says the husband's glad to see you, oh, I'm so happy. I'm so happy when you're home and this or that. But you forgot to take out the garbage. I know. But I'm still happy to see you and all this. So that makes the difference. And that's what he's saying right away in Pasuk Aleph. That's the Suda, the first Pasuk. Al mishkavi balelos bikashti eshova nafshi bikashti velo mitzosiv. Says Hashem in Pasuk Aleph. Al mishkavi balelos bikashti. Literally it means on my bed in the nights bikashti, I sought out eshova nafshi, the one that my soul loves. On the couch I was seeking out bikashti, if I sought him out. Velo matzasiv, I didn't find him. Says the Tzror HaMor. Tshuvas HaKadosh Baruch Yisrael, Mavakshim Alakeitz. The response that Hashem gives to the Jews who are asking for the redemption. V'yomelam, he says, Bevade, certainly, Ilu Hayisi Motza Af Ish Echad. If I would even find one person, Lahasho Shechinasi Olav, that I could bring my divine presence to rest upon him. Bevadi ha'yisi memarakeitz, I certainly would have sped up the redemption. Kihin chara, because you've seen in the past I've done that. Shigam begolios hakodmim, that in the prior exiles. Osizikach, I did this. Now that's what he's now saying, this words in the pasuk now. V'zeh amru, therefore he says, al mishkavi balaylos, when I was lying down at night, Kilayla kinu lagolus. Nighttime is a nickname for exile, right? Vakavonus ala golus bavel umadai. We're talking about the golus of Babylonia and Madai. Shahayu, that word. Now you got to change it. The commentary below says change the word shahayu to shahaya. That was aide Haman through Haman. So in other words, the golus. There were two goluses, bavel and Madai. Okay. However, they weren't both through Haman. Bavel was Babylonia. Then Paras Umadai together destroyed Bavel, and then Haman was there. So you got to change and say Golus Bavel, and also during the times of Madai, that Haman was the one in charge, and he made terrible decrees. Smuchim was that each exile is one right after the others. Next page, Bisman in time. Okay, so it doesn't mean it was the same, but it goes, it's part of the 70-year exile. It started with Bavel and then Paras Umadai, who conquered. Bavel's part of the 70 years. Just trying to get through the technical wording over there that makes sense. So during that time, V'choma gamasi, all my interests and desires, Haya, Oz L'dabek Imcha, to cleave to you, Hashem is saying. During the whole 7 years, I want to be close to you. With you, I want to take you out of the exile. Lekach, therefore, bigashti, I was looking. Eshava nafshi, the ones that loved my soul. Esat tzadikim, I was looking for righteous people. Lahashro shchinas yalem, to have my shchina dwell upon them. I'm looking for them. Ulam bigashti, however, I looked for them. V'lo motzosi, I didn't find them. Now he's going to elaborate that on the next psukim, but you already have the beginning of that answer. And that's really, again, when you read Shirashirim and Erev Shabbos, when you're thinking and you're saying, Erev Shabbos is the taste of the world to come, and you want Hashem to bring the final redemption. And we all know we have some small sins that it's hard for us to get out of these sins. It's hard to get out of these sins. But Hashem says, that's okay, but how much are you looking forward to me? So that depends on how much, you know, how much you want to bring. It's okay, how much you want to bring the Shabbos in. You're looking forward to Hashem. You'd bring in Shabbos soon? The last possible minute. If Shabbos catches me, then I'll go into Shabbos. Mm-hmm. Or I'm trying to run into the Shabbos. That's all part of that message. We'd all be zoicha to be able to search a little bit more for our Kodesh Baruch.